You mean if I just put $1,000 into this investment, I can double it in 6 months? Sign me up. Then you have people who have no idea what they're doing start buying, and this causes a big bubble. So you start to see these booms and busts in paper assets, which can create opportunity for the people that understand what's going on, but it hurts the people who don't understand what's going on. So the solution here is...
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to The Minority Mindset.
There are three types of assets that everybody needs to own, whether you're wealthy or want to become wealthy, whether you're in a recession or an economic boom. These are three types of assets that every single person needs to own if you want to have any sort of real financial freedom, if you want to have any sort of real wealth. And these three types of assets are paper assets, tangible assets, and insurance assets. These two assets, your paper assets and your tangible assets, are going to buy you your freedom, and it's going to make you feel wealthy. This insurance asset, this is not life insurance or health insurance or any of that type of insurance. I'm talking about real worst case scenario types of insurance to protect you financially. This is probably going to be one of the smaller pieces of your portfolio, but this is what gives you that real wealth where now no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in the economy, you will be okay because you have spent money on things that don't give you a real return, but they give you insurance against something bad happening in the world or the economy. I'm going to start here and then I'm going to work my way down. And what you're going to see is how different these different types of assets are from one another. So make sure you watch this video until the end because you want to understand how you can really invest your money the right way. That way you can take care of yourself and your finances no matter what's going on in the world. So let me start by talking about paper assets. The most common kinds of paper assets are stocks and bonds. These are now paper certificates that say you own something. If you own a stock in a company, well, now you own a piece of ownership of a company. If you own a stock of the McDonald's Corporation, now you're one of the owners of McDonald's on paper. However, you don't own any physical branches. You don't own any actual burgers. You just own a piece of paper that says you're one of the owners, and this entitles you to some of the profits that McDonald's makes. And the way that you get paid through this profit is through higher share prices. If your share price goes up, if you buy the stock for $200 and it goes up to $300, and you sell it, or if you get paid dividends, which is literally a cash payment that you get just for owning the company. So at the time we're recording this video, McDonald's is a company that pays out a dividend. Not every company pays out a dividend, meaning that they will give you a cash payment every 3 months, every quarter, just for owning the company. With bonds, you don't actually own something, you're actually lending money. So when you get something like a treasury bond, which is the most popular type of bond, you're lending money to the government in exchange for interest. You're trying to get interest in exchange for your money lending. With paper assets, just like any other asset, there are two different ways that you can get paid. You can get paid through cash flow, or you can get paid through appreciation. Cash flow is when you own an asset, you own a stock, and now it's paying you cash just for owning it. So every year you get a check just for owning the stock and you don't have to do anything else. You buy the stock once and every year you get a check in the mail. That's cash flow. Appreciation is when you see the price of your stock goes up. You buy a share of a stock for $100 and then it goes up to $200 and you sell. That's appreciation. Now, the reason why I say that everybody should own some paper assets is because paper assets are the assets that are most subject or most easily subject to a boom and bust economy. Now, it's no surprise that we see booms and busts in our economy. We've seen it happen many times in the last century. We've seen it happen in 2020. We saw it happen in 2022. We saw it happen in 2008. We saw it happen in 2001. The reality is that every 10 to 12 years or so, that's just a rough estimate, we see some sort of boom and bust in our economy. This is just something that's been going on because of the system that we have. We have a credit-based system, meaning our economy does not function based off of how much money somebody has. It functions based off of how much credit somebody can qualify for. Because now, if you only have $100 in your pocket, that's the most amount of money that you can spend. But if your credit card has a $2,000 limit, well, now you can go out and spend $2,100. You can spend your $100 you have in your wallet, and then you can spend the $2,000 in your credit card. And now this helps the economy boom today because you have the ability to spend more money today. In our economic system, the amount of money that somebody else makes depends on how much money you spend. The more money you spend, the more money somebody else makes. This is how our economic system works. And so with this credit-based system, people have the ability to spend more money today thanks to the help of debt, lines of credit, and just general credit, loans. And so if people have the ability to spend more money today, this can help create a boom in the economy, but that also creates busts. Because what happens is people get greedy, people don't have a lot of financial education, and then you go out and spend more money than you can afford. We've seen this happen time and time and time and time again. People spend more money than they can afford. They're keeping up with the Joneses, or they want to flex on Instagram, or whatever the reason is. People spend more money and they don't have the ability to make the payments. And then what happens is we see this boom in the economy because people are spending so much money. They're spending money that they don't have, which causes the short-term boom. And then we reach this point where now people have too much debt. And now they have to consolidate. They have to live smaller. They have to start paying down their debts. So now instead of spending money, they're now saving money. They're now working to pay down debts, so the economy has to cool down. And what happens now is this also translates to booms and busts into assets like paper assets, like the stock market. That's why the stock market can be so volatile, because when you are in this boom time, people get excited. They see everything going up, and then people start buying stocks and you see the price of stocks go up. And then when you start to see the price of stocks go up, you see the media factor. The media comes in and they talk about how the market can never go down, how everybody is getting rich in the markets, and then more people come in and then they wanna buy. And then people start talking about how much money they're making in the markets, and they start telling their friends, and their friends say, oh, you mean if I just put $1,000 into this investment, I can double it in 6 months? Sign me up. Then you have people who have no idea what they're doing start buying, and this causes a big bubble. So you start to see these booms and busts in paper assets, which can create opportunity for the people that understand what's going on, but it hurts the people who don't understand what's going on. It hurts the people who are not financially educated. So the solution here is, one, everybody should get more financially educated, but what you need to know, that way you can capitalize on the way that the system works, because the reality is, this is how the system works. It's like gravity. You can either try to fight it or understand it and use it to your advantage. My goal is to help you learn the system, that way you can use it to your advantage, because the reality is the system's not changing anytime soon. So if this is how the system works, you can take advantage of this bubble economy by owning some of the paper assets. That way now you can take advantage of some of these bubbles that happen, because bubbles actually make people very wealthy. It also ruins some people and makes some people very poor at the same time, because they have no idea what's going on. But if you understand how the bubble works, you can use these bubbles to your advantage. So now if you can come in and own some of these paper assets, you can ride the wave upwards. Now this is a super high level overview, because now you can get into the nitty gritty of, how do you actually wanna make money? Do you wanna make money from cash flow, AKA dividends in the stock market, or do you wanna get paid through appreciation? I recommend being a long-term fundamental investor. I don't understand trading. I am not a trader. Trading is like gambling to me. I know some traders can make a lot of money, but it's just not for me. So I recommend people to be long-term investors, because that's what I understand. But now this is where you have to understand what type of investor you want to be. Do you want the cash flow? Do you want appreciation? What types of companies do you want to invest in? Or do you even want to invest in companies? Would you rather invest in ETFs or index funds? Because if you want to invest in companies, well, now you get to spend more time doing the research, reading earnings statements, following up with companies, understanding their profits, understanding their revenues, seeing if they're growing. So it takes a lot more financial education to be investing in companies successfully for the long term. Versus if you don't want to spend all the time doing that, then you can invest in funds, something like ETFs and index funds. These are now groups of companies, where now instead of trying to find the perfect company, you pick what you want to invest in. Do you want to invest in the biggest companies in the stock market? Do you want to invest in tech? Do you want to invest in healthcare? Do you want to invest in growth companies? Well, you can just find a fund, an ETF or an index fund, that gives you exposure to a group of companies within the niche that you want to invest in. And now instead of investing in one company, you invest in one ETF that gives you exposure to hundreds of companies. So it lowers your risk. It also lowers some of your upside. But now you don't have to worry about doing all that research and all that upkeep. It's completely passive on your end, and you just let the ETF do its thing. Now, if you are looking for a resource to help you understand the nitty-gritty, to understand how to invest your money the right way, I put together a free guide on how to start generating passive income. This guide is completely free, that will walk you through different investing strategies, different ways that you can start generating passive income, different ways that you can start investing your money, even if you don't have a ton of money to start. So if you're interested in learning more, this guide is completely free, and I'll put the link to how you can download this guide down in the description below. The second type of investment that you want to own is a tangible investment. And the easiest example that I can give you of a tangible investment would be investing your money in real estate. Not just the home that you live in, but investment properties, because now you're buying this real estate for one purpose only, and it's to make money. And I talk about real estate investing quite a bit on this channel, but I want to take it one step further today, because the whole idea of tangible has more to do than just being able to see, touch, and feel an investment. It's having something there that actually provides value that's hard to compete with. So an example that I can give you of this is a friend of mine has been really trying to push me to enter the laundromat business with him, where he buys laundromat businesses that are doing well. And his whole pitch is you can buy a laundromat for a decent price and you're making money back in less than 5 years. Now, it's a good business model if you want to be in that business, if you can manage it, if you understand it. But the issue for me, the way that the laundromat business works, is you have this laundromat which is renting a unit inside of a building, and they might own some appliances. Maybe they own some washers and dryers. If they don't own them, they'll be renting them out. But there's nothing proprietary there. There's nothing stopping somebody else from opening up a better laundromat right across the street or in that same plaza. And so you don't own anything that people really need, that can't be competed with, that has something tangible in that sense. Like, yeah, maybe you own some washers and dryers, but there's nothing really tangible about buying this business of a laundromat within a plaza that has no sort of IP, because somebody else can open up another franchise or another laundromat right next door to you. Now, if you own the plaza, now you have something that people need, because you have this real estate, if it's in a good area, that people will need. And if people want to be there, now you have something that's more tangible. Like if you own a home, a rental property, an apartment complex, a retail building, a commercial building in an area that people want to be, well, now you have something that will produce value with less effort, and you know that this is something that will always have value. If you own a laundromat and somebody opens up a better laundromat, a cheaper laundromat right next to you, and everybody goes to your competitor and nobody goes to your business anymore, now you're out of business and your business is not worth anything. Versus with a real estate property or with owning the plaza, even in the worst case scenario, nobody's living there, the city's going down, it's not in a great area, it's still not going to be worth nothing, because you still own the land, you still own the bricks, you still own the building, you still own everything there. And so it's something tangible that can produce cash flow. Now, the whole idea with you investing in real estate is you want to understand the location. This is what separates a good real estate investor from a bad real estate investor, because of where you're investing. You want to be investing where people want to go, where over the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 20 years, you see more demand in the neighborhood. This is a science of understanding how you're investing your money, understanding the location, talking to the city, seeing what developments are going, looking at trends, seeing what's happening to the population. Is the population growing where you're investing your money? Is there more young people going there? Is there more demand there? Because if there is more demand there, well, not only are property values going up, but rent values are going up. And the nice thing about real estate now is not only do you own something that you can see, feel, and touch, but you own the land. You own this building, you own this land, and now a nice family can live in this property that you own, and in exchange for you giving them this value, they will pay you rent every single month. So now you're getting cash flow, and if you do this the right way, this rent will cover all of your expenses. It'll pay for your property taxes, it'll pay for your insurance, it'll pay for your maintenance, it'll pay for your management company. That way it's passive for you, because I don't want you to invest in real estate and be fixing toilets. Have a management company who has a good contractor that will take care of all the maintenance issues that come up. And then it'll also cover your mortgage payment if you have one. And then after paying all these expenses, it'll still put some money in your pocket. This is the right way to invest in real estate, where now you're buying a property that's covering all the expenses and putting money in your pocket every single month. That way now you're not worried about property prices, because if you go into an economic downturn and property prices go down, well, at least you're still getting your rent. And if you do it right, you'll have margin in your rent. So even if you have to cut your rent, well, you're still making a profit every single month. Maybe your profit is smaller, but you're still profitable. This requires you to now understand the process, know how to find a good deal, how to find a good area, how to value a property. Like for me, the things that I look for when I invest in real estate is I'm looking for a minimum 7% cash on cash return on my money. Meaning for every $1 that I invest, I want 7 cents of positive cash flow, meaning profit after paying all of my expenses. So if I invest $100,000, I want $7,000 back. Now, you might be hearing this thinking, but Jasprit, that takes a lot of work and a lot of money to buy a tangible investment, something like real estate. And you're right, it does take more work, it does take more effort, and it does take more cash to go out and buy something like a rental property. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. Like, there are alternative ways for you to go out and buy real estate. You can go out and potentially create a fund where you and five other investors pull together some cash that you use as a down payment to go out and buy a property. Now, you don't have to front all the cash, but you put in some cash to go out and buy the property. But you can't really bypass the work if you want to own the property yourself, unless you're just a passive investor, we're just giving somebody else cash. Real estate investing does take effort. It takes time because you have to go through this whole hurdle of learning the process, understanding how it works. And if you really don't want to be a part of any of that work, well, that's fine. Just find a fund. Either you're going to directly find investors that are looking for cash because they are everywhere in every real estate market. Just go to a real estate investor meeting in your area. They're around the country where you have these REI meetings. And I guarantee you, you will find investors there that are looking for cash to fund another deal. So if you want to be completely passive, you can go there, find one of these investors and help fund their deal there that was passive on your end. But the whole idea here is now you own something tangible. And in the case of real estate, the whole idea of you buying this is to create cash flow. And if you buy it in a good area, you'll also see that appreciation where your property value goes up too. Now, the nice thing about real estate, which is kind of an extra added benefit, is real estate also comes with a bunch of tax breaks, legal tax breaks. As an attorney who is not your attorney, I can tell you that our IRS rule book gives real estate investors some of the biggest tax breaks that our tax code has to offer, which means that now you can generate cash flow and potentially pay $0 in taxes, meaning you can have a profit at the end of the year and tell the IRS that you have a $0 tax liability because of some of the tax breaks that real estate has to offer. So just one of the added benefits of owning a tangible investment like real estate, and you don't get those same benefits that you do in the stock market. Now, the stock market does get some tax breaks, but they're nowhere near as big or as comprehensive as the tax breaks that you get with something like real estate investing. And third is your insurance investments. These are things that you're not buying for the purpose of getting a financial return, but rather to protect you from the worst case scenario type of situations. One of the most common examples of this would be owning something like physical gold. I invest some money into gold every month. I have a passive system set up where I just invest a little bit of money into gold every month. If you want to see which company I use, I linked it down in the description. They are an affiliate of mine, so just a heads up if you want to see that. But I invest in gold every single month, and the reason why is really just this type of insurance. Now, I don't really care what's going on with the price of gold, whether it's up or down. It's a passive system for me, and the way that I look at physical gold is that it's insurance or hard saving or real money, like saving real money, because gold is something tangible and it's a store of value. It takes time, effort, and labor to mine gold, and that time, effort, and labor is represented through the physical gold bar. So I invest in physical gold for that reason, because for me it's insurance. It's just another way for me to save real money, because I understand that cash is losing value every single day versus gold actually benefits from inflation. Another type of insurance could be investing your money into something like farmland, where now you can produce crops, you can produce fruits and vegetables, things that you can eat for whatever. You mean you can sell these crops, or you can potentially use them yourself. I mean, if you're really thinking about worst case scenario type of situations, this is something that you can use to protect yourself. You can also consider investing your money into water. Water companies are actual commodity of water because, well, there's a water shortage in the world. And we're seeing the supply of water decrease, and it is an investment. However, you're probably not going to get a major return anytime soon. But if you look at it more from the insurance perspective, it's another way for you to invest your money in just a way to protect yourself. So when I talk about insurance, again, you're not trying to get a financial return here, but rather you're building real wealth, because now you built your financial freedom with the paper assets and the tangible assets. And now this insurance asset is there to protect you from anything. A financial disaster, some other sort of disaster. We don't want these things to happen. However, it's better for you to be prepared and protect yourself from anything. That's why it's called insurance.